Daniel chapter 11. We'll continue to go through the Bible, verse by verse together. And we'll pick up where we left off in verse 36. And this is about the Antichrist, but you know, I'm glad I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. I'm looking for Jesus. And I know how everything's going to end, and I know the devil's got a hold on the world, and it's going to get greater and greater, but Jesus is still coming. And as we've been looking at these things about the Antichrist and the tribulation period, it's a joy to be able to be involved in the work of Christ to try to save people from the damnation that is coming to this world. And every soul that gets saved, that every soul we can reach for Christ will escape this awful day. And since it is so awful, it's just such a blessing to be involved in the work of the Lord together. And in Daniel chapter 11, we're in verse 36. The Bible says, "And the king," that's the Antichrist, "shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Tonight, as we look at, first thing we look at in verse 36 and 37 would be the characteristics of the Antichrist. And as I look at these characteristics of the Antichrist, I think they're so profound, we may just stick in those two verses right there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to make sure we get all this. But, you know, I don't know about you, I want to be like Jesus. I think what we did just a minute ago was like Jesus. I think that's what Jesus would have done. But I want to be like Jesus. Well, the Antichrist is the opposite of Jesus. The Bible gives us his characteristics. So if we're going to be like the Lord, we need to have the opposite characteristics that the Antichrist will have. Now, the Bible tells us in the book 1 John that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. If it was at work then, you can see how prevalent it must be today. And as I go through these characteristics of the Antichrist, it'll really just be an epitaph on our whole generation. We live in a whole society that's anti-Christ. It's against God. And let's look at these things. First of all, and the first one might shock you. What are the characteristics of the Antichrist? Does he breathe fire? No. What are they? Number one, verse 36, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself." The first characteristic of the Antichrist is self-will. Look at that in your Bible. The king shall do according to his will. The characteristic of the Antichrist is he does whatever he wants to do. Do you know you are more like the devil when you're just doing what you want to do? What is the Christian life really? Is the Christian life not in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Not my will, but thine be done"? I'd say this, if Jesus Christ wouldn't do his own will, you and I better be careful that we don't even consider doing our own will. You see that? So Jesus was not my will. He wasn't. He always did the will of the Father, right? He didn't. He said, everything I'm doing it at the will of my Father. And the Antichrist is just the antithesis of that. He's the opposite of that. The Bible says the king shall do according to his will. You know, a lot of times we look at things in our lives, we don't think they're so big. But if it's just what makes it so devilish, if it's just what you want to do, it can be the biggest thing the devil is working in your heart, just your own self-will. You know, when God gave the characteristic of a bishop in Titus chapter 1, you know one of the characteristics of that, of the bishop is? Now, people always like to put different, you know, they like to elevate, you know, one or two things in the passage about a bishop. Oh, he can't be this, that, the other thing. I won't even tell you your pet peeves because they're not my pet peeves. Somebody has pet peeves. But the one in there in Titus chapter 1 is that a bishop is not self-willed. You know why? Because that's how the devil gets in the church. If the bishop is trying to do what he wants to do instead of God wants to do, it's a mess. It's a mess in the church. It's like your family. If you try to do what you want to do in your family, it'll be a mess. You need to do what God wants you to do in your family. And our lives ought to be conformed to the will of God. And if they are not, they are antichrist. The spirit of antichrist is my will. Is that not the spirit of our age? I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what the law is. We'll just elect politicians that'll change all the laws. And make, you know, just everybody smoke dope. Can you believe we live in a world like that? One of the chief platforms of the Democratic candidates is that they want to be the first to say, I want to legalize marijuana. You know why? Because we just want to do, the population want to do what they want to do. If I want to abort a baby, I'll abort a baby. If I want to smoke dope, I'll smoke dope. If I'm a man and want to marry a man, I'll marry a man. I just want to do whatever I want to do. That is the spirit of our world, and it is antichrist. Now, we recognize that in the sinful society, but we ought to be recognizing that in our hearts. Because every one of us have places in our hearts where we just want to do what we want to do. And that's the characteristic of the antichrist. Yield your heart to God. Yield your life to God. Let him control your life. Now, the second thing goes right with that, that self-will. Look at verse 36 again. And the king shall do according to his will. By the way, you know what? You know what's got me in the most trouble in my ministry? Just trying to do what I knew God wanted me to do. That's got me in the most trouble in my whole ministry. I was convinced that God wanted this done. And it's not that I really want it done. I knew he wanted it done, and so I did it. And, man, you'd be surprised what kind of opposition you get trying to do the will of God. So the Antichrist does his own will. And the king shall do according to his will. And then it says, and he shall exalt himself. Now, you can just make a little check mark there. Anybody that's trying to exalt themselves, that's the spirit of the devil. You know what Jesus said? He said twice in Luke. Jesus said this. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, the Antichrist, what does he do? He exalts himself. He wants to be the spotlight. You know, I don't think really we've done ourselves a lot of favors, even with our kids, trying to exalt our kids. That didn't go very well, but it's... You know what we ought to work in our children? To be servants, to have a place of obedience, to have a place of humility, to serve others. That's what needs to be exalted, not how many points I scored or the pageant I won. Or that's right. Why do we want to tell everybody? You know, wasn't that funny, the missionary to Finland talking about IQ being 160? You know, who would go around and brag about that? Yeah, our IQs are, the average IQ in our country is 160. Well, why do you want everybody to know that? Because it's wanting people to look at you, and that's the characteristic of the Antichrist. He exalts himself. He wants to be the one in the spotlight. That's Antichrist. Mark it down. The closer we are to the Lord, the more out of the spotlight we want to get. And the more we want to shine the spotlight on Jesus. We're trying to exalt the Lord and humble ourselves. And the Antichrist is abasing God and exalting himself. Amen. I'm not against it. I played every sport I could play in high school. I did. But I tell you what, I've never really seen a very spiritual jock. I've never seen a real spiritual athletic person, because the drive is, man, I want to make the all-star team, man. I want to excel. I want to get the trophy. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with competition, but there is something when you're always trying to be in the spotlight. But, you know, you can see that in the work of God. People, you know, they want people to see them or hear their voice or look at how pretty they are or whatever their accomplishment is. The Antichrist exalts himself, and I'm just telling you, that is opposite of God's will for all of our lives. Look, let's keep reading. What are the characteristics of Antichrist? Self-will, self-exaltation. Keep reading. It says, and the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and will magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. So he's a great blasphemer. He speaks against God. That's what the text says. In verse 37, at the end of the verse, it says, he shall magnify himself above all. So in his self-exaltation, you know what people do when they exalt themselves? They got to tear everybody else down. Now watch this now. You got to be careful about this. If you ever find somebody that's constantly running other people down, there's one motivation for that. And you got to see that about yourself. If I feel the need to criticize everybody and bring them down, it's because I'm wanting others to see my glowing characteristics, you see. Now that might be quiet, but that's just true. Now look, we all know we're all sinners, right? So it's not going to be a surprise if you point out other people's problems. But if you're pointing out other people's problems, it's usually because you're trying to get the spotlight off of your own problems. So as the Antichrist exalts himself, what does he do? He magnifies himself above all. And when he does that, who is above all? Say, God, right? So you know what he has to do? He has to start running God in the ground. Because if he's going to take his position and his seat above God, which is what Lucifer wanted to do all along, if he's got to run God down, he's got to blaspheme God. Hold your finger right here. Go to Revelation chapter 13 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 on the way there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13. He is, what are the characteristics of the Antichrist? Self-will, self-exaltation. What are the characteristics of the Antichrist? Blasphemy, speaking things against God. Against God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, there he is, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself. There it is again, right? What Daniel told us. Opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So what the Antichrist does, he runs God down the ground, blasphemes the name of God, speaks against God, so he himself can set himself up as God and get rid of the God of the Bible. Now, that's one reason why our culture tries to get rid of the God of the Bible, because they're trying to be people's gods. Revelation 13, this is how he does it. This is the explanation of him speaking things against the God of gods, capital G in Daniel. That's the Lord God. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, that's the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Watch verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and what? Blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Look at verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Look at the three things he curses. He curses the name of God, he curses the tabernacle of God, and he curses them that dwell in heaven. You see that? You know what the devil hates? Well, the devil hates God, and the devil hates the house of God, and the devil hates the people of God. So that's who he's blaspheming. His blasphemy goes from God to God's tabernacle to those that dwell in heaven. Now, can't you see that issue? Now, you can hold your finger there in Revelation. We'll be right back in just a second in 13. Can't you see that in our society? Have we ever had a more blasphemous society? I mean, you can't watch a Disney movie without blasphemy. That's just true. That's why we've tried to preach and teach and instruct you that you need to have those filters, and you can get those if you want to get those, and if you can't get those, leave off the blasphemy. It is the spirit of Antichrist, and it will corrupt your mind and corrupt your heart. You say, well, it's just a movie. No, if there's blasphemy in the movie, the devil's in the movie. And it's at work. It's at schools. I mean, little kids, man, have mouths of sailors. You say, preacher, what do I do if my kid comes home with that? Take their mouth, take them in the bathroom, and get some good old ivory soap and just go right in their mouth like that right there till they foam like an animal. Yep. Wash your mouth out. Amen. Anybody ever had their mouth washed out as a kid? I have. I don't even know who did it, but somebody did it. Yeah. Wash your mouth out. Wash your mouths out. And I'm telling you, we have corrupted hearts and corrupted minds. We have a corrupted society because the devil's running it. So we need to turn off all that stuff. And we need to listen to the Lord. Listen to some good, clean music. Listen to some preaching. If you have to, don't listen to anything. Anything's better than blasphemy. Because it's Antichrist. Well, what's the opposite of blasphemy? Speaking the truth, isn't it? Lifting up the name of God. Lifting up the house of God. Lifting up the people of God. Speaking the truth. Now, a lot of truth speakers, you know why? Because it's the opposite of the spirit of our age. The Bible says he speaks against the God of gods. And Daniel also, we'll be right back in Revelation 13. Just hold your finger there. In Daniel 11, look what else it says. It says in verse 37, Daniel 11, 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, what does that mean? Many people say, well, that proves that the Antichrist is a Jew. Well, maybe. They say, well, he's an anti-Semite. Maybe. But I don't know about that. I mean, how does an anti-Semite get the Jews to believe that he's the Messiah if he's an anti-Semite? That's a little harder pill to swallow for me. It may be something else. It says that he's not going to acknowledge the God of his fathers. He's going to deny the God of his fathers. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. What if some of his parentage back in his line of his lineage, maybe what if he's not a Jew? What if he comes from a Western society that came from Christianity? We know this, the God of his fathers is the true God because it's got a capital G there. You see that? So whether it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or it's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it is, he doesn't regard that God, but it's in his family tree somewhere. Now, what does 1 John tell us about the Antichrist? The Bible tells us, whosoever denies, well, I'll just read it to you. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible talks about the spirit of Antichrist in our age, and then he talks about how you spot that spirit of the Antichrist. He said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So he says the Antichrist is somebody that's denying the Father and the Son. He will not acknowledge them. That is the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible said in 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. He said in 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know, some of our world will even take you talking about God, but when you start talking about Jesus Christ, that's a different story. Because that narrows down who your God really is, you see. And the antichrist will not regard the God of his Father. So the spirit of the Antichrist is blasphemy. The spirit of the Antichrist is atheism and secularism. Look back in Daniel 11 because he goes farther than that. Daniel 11:37 says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, I'll get that in a minute, nor regard any God. You see that? The Antichrist is an atheist. He's a secularist. Look, he's got to be that because you've got to get rid of every God for you to set yourself up to be God and for everybody to worship you. You understand? Now, the false prophet, that's a different story. The false prophet is a very religious figure. But he is going to point everybody to the Antichrist. The Antichrist doesn't regard any God. People have said, I know who the Antichrist must be. You look at our world and you see Islam and all the Muslims and surely the Antichrist is a Muslim. No, the Antichrist is nothing. You understand? He's not Christian. He's not a Jew. He's not a Muslim. He's nothing. And you know where our world's headed? It's headed to the nothings. That's the fastest growing group in America, the people that are nothing. They just don't believe in anything. And so the Antichrist is, he's a secularist. He doesn't need God. He's not interested in any God or any religion, period. Because he's going to be the religion. He's going to be who people dedicate themselves to. Now look, what's the opposite of that? You know, that's why the Bible says, listen, put it together, church. It's not a coincidence that the Antichrist does not regard any God, no religion, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews, what should we do the closer the day approaches? Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more. That means church ought to be a bigger part of your life the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, because we're coming to a secular society that doesn't want anything to do with anything that's about God. And so we have to step up the ball game. It's got to be more important, more important. That means this. The Bible and the church and living for Jesus ought to be a bigger priority in our lives than it was in our parents' lives. That's what that verse means. So much the more. Now, those were great generations back there. And in my life, it's got to be emphasized more than back there. Yeah. Because I'm in a more perilous time. I'm drawing nearer and closer to the day where no one's going to say they need God at all. Look what else. 37. I got one more there. The characteristic of the Antichrist. Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Are you thinking with me? You say, well, what is that, preacher? Well, I tell you what it would sound like just at a cursory reading. I don't think it's all it is. But some have said, well, the Antichrist is a homosexual. He doesn't desire, has nor the desire, he doesn't regard the desire of women. I tell you what, there's something wrong with a man that don't desire a woman. That's just true. There's something broke. There's something messed up. Now look, we don't believe in playing the little girlfriend, boyfriend games at all these ages to get all people worked up. And we don't want people touching. We don't all that. But you know what? We want our boys to like girls, and we want our girls to like boys. Because the spirit of Antichrist is destroying that. So, no, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Antichrist was a homosexual. I said something to somebody about, I said, you watch it, this homosexual candidate for president is going to do better than you think. And I had somebody tell me, never happened, preacher. You tell me if the Bible's not current news. How can saved people have anything to do with people that embrace that? Doesn't make any sense to me. So, but now I'm not through. You say, well, okay, preacher, that's what you're saying? Nah, I think it's deeper than that. You know what we do when we take a phrase in the Bible? We compare it to another phrase in the Bible. I found one other place where the desire of women is mentioned. All the way back to Genesis. Would you go there? Genesis chapter 3, when God is instructing Adam and Eve, and after the fall, this is what he says to the woman, that the Antichrist will not regard the desire of women. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible, God says unto the woman, look at it. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, watch it, and thy, what's the word? Desire shall be to thy what? To thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Maybe it is that the Antichrist, maybe he is homosexual, maybe he is a sodomite. But maybe he does not regard the desire of women in so much he doesn't recognize the order of the home, that a woman is supposed to have a desire toward her husband. You know what we're getting away from today? A woman, the desire of women. So it may not be his desire for a woman. It may be what the woman is supposed to desire. You follow me? He will not regard the desire of women. The desire of the woman is supposed to be to her husband. Not to her career. I didn't say it was a sin to have a career. I said her desire. That's what God said. Eve, your desire is going to be to your husband. Now, what do we have today in our Antichrist society? We have a feminist movement where women don't even think they need a man. They don't even want a man. Matter of fact, some of them want another woman. Right? That is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, flip it over. What's the spirit of Christ? To emphasize our homes. And the importance of our homes. And the order of our homes. If this society has ever been mixed up in the order of the home, it's today. It's because the devil is trying to ruin every home he can ruin. So when the Antichrist steps on the scene, he does not even acknowledge the order of the home. He does not even acknowledge. I mean, we're getting to a place where there seems like there's almost as many people that aren't married, but they're living together as are married. It's like that doesn't even matter. The whole principle of husband and wife is not even a principle at all. It doesn't even, who cares? Yeah, the Antichrist, he'll go along with that, I'm sure. the desire of women toward anti-male, anti-home. I heard one preacher say this. He said the desire of women is for children. That's just another thing to throw out there. I mean, most women want a child, right? And now we live in a day where, you know, just throw them away. Didn't that break your heart about Nigeria and they're taking those kids and throwing them on the dump? Thank you, church, for getting behind that. I mean, I'm burdened over that. We got people already coming to me and said, preacher, I want to fly to Nigeria. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's about the children. Maybe the children don't matter anymore, and it'll go back to the time like in the Old Testament where the mothers were even killing their. Can you imagine in the Old Testament? This is history. They got so far away from God that they killed their kids and they ate them. That's in the Bible. You've got to have no desire toward your own child to do that. I don't think the Antichrist has any home desire at all. It's all about him. So the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of a sodomite. It's the spirit of anti-home and anti-marriage, and it's a feminist. You can put all that in there in that description of the Antichrist. Go to verse 38 now. Daniel 11:38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Now those two verses are strange because he just said that the Antichrist regards no God. And then he says there's going to be an honoring of the God of forces, capital G, which that looks like the God of the Bible. I'm not going to change the scripture. I can't really say I understand that, but I'll give you what I think. He, verse 38, honors the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor. Verse 39, he does something in the strongholds with a strange God. Well, wait a minute. How do you have an Antichrist that regards no God, and then there's this honoring of these strange gods here? I think it's found in the little phrase in verse 38, but in his estate shall he. Now, hold your finger there. Go back where you were in Revelation. I told you we'd revisit that. In the estate of the Antichrist, there is another beast that is very religious. That's the false prophet. I think that's what those verses are talking about. Because the Antichrist regards no God, period, zero. Doesn't regard any of them. But the false prophet in his estate is going to be a very religious figure. Maybe he'll even talk about the God of the Bible, but he'll also mix it with the speech of a strange God that his fathers knew not, and he's going to acknowledge that. Now here's the ministry of the false prophet. In Revelation 13, we read about the Antichrist in the first few verses, but look at verse 11, Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Boy, that's the devil, isn't it? I mean, the devil comes up so nice and pretty and gentle, and then he puts a dagger in your heart. You know, the devil, the Antichrist has no use for religion, but Satan really does use religion. Now watch how this false prophet honors these strange gods. Verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now wait a minute. If the false prophet can get you to worship a false god, he can get you to worship another false god. So in other words, if the false prophet can just people going in the wrong direction with the wrong religion, he can do away with that and point them to worshiping the beast, point them to worship the dragon, to worship the Antichrist. He says in verse 13, and he doeth, that's the false prophet, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Does miracles in the eyes of men to get them to worship. Verse 14, And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this false prophet, he's a very religious figure. I call it the Satanic Trinity. Look at chapter 16 and we'll close. In chapter 16 of Revelation, in verse number 13, you see the Satanic Trinity. Revelation 16, verse 13. The Bible says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth," here we go, "of the dragon," that's Satan, "and out of the mouth of the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So that's the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And the Bible says in verse 14, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So the devil is going to use false religion to then exalt. It's just going to be a strange God. You know, I read my devotions the other day. It's sad. You remember when Aaron's sons offered up that strange fire to God? And God just dropped them dead. You know why? Because not worshiping the right God, or not even worshiping God the right way, is not only not acceptable, it can lead to devilish things. Devilish things. And boy, God just dropped them dead. He called fire down from heaven. Now, look, I'm finished. So, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world where the spirit of Antichrist is. So we need to have the opposite spirit. But if you're not careful, it'll get all over you. That spirit out there will get all over you. And it'll start with the first point. What I want. That's where it starts. And exalting me. That's where it starts. So you know where we need to start? Down on our knees. Down on our face. Humbling ourselves before God. And saying, "Lord, I just want your will to be done."